Acts chapter number 26, if you turn with us, Acts chapter number 26. And we're going to read verse number 22 in a little context, and we're going to come down to verse number 25 and try to bring the message that we feel like the Lord's laid on our heart. A few days ago, we knew this meeting was coming up, and we've been praying for your missions conference and praying that God would help you to do more. Amen. And the pastor's wife had mentioned to Darlene and I today that you guys had exceeded your mission budget last year. Amen. That's awesome, man. And this economy, glory to God for that. And hallelujah for everything that the Lord has done. And we've been praying for you. The Lord will just bless you and continue to bless. If there's one thing I know God will bless, that's missions. Because I believe missions is the heartbeat of God. And that's what Jesus came to die for. And He said, if I go to my Father, He said, greater works will I do. And He went away and He left us with a great commission to send the gospel around the world. And if He left us with the greatest responsibility, amen, He will leave a way to be able to finance it or to accomplish it. And I praise the Lord for that, and I appreciate what God has done in our life. I've found over the years that you can't outgive God. We still support missions. I was scared to death when I stopped shoeing horses and became a missionary that we were not going to be able to support missions anymore. At that time, we were supporting missions for $250 a month, personally, me and my wife. And God, since then, has done nothing but increase what we give every single month. And this year, whenever churches began to have to cut back, and some of them had to drop support while we were on the field, we were afraid about what we would do for missions. And would God increase our mission budget? And that year in our missions conference, we began to give our increase, not to our local church, but God led us to give our increase in Bolivia. And we began to increase what we were given each year in Bolivia. And the Lord, this past year, He put a figure on my wife's heart and put a figure on my heart. We'd always before prayed together about what God would have us to give concerning missions. And this time on my little card, I put what I feel like the Lord had put in my heart. And she got her own card. And she put what God put in her heart. And whenever she told me that, I said, honey, I've already filled out a card for that amount. And she said, I know you have, honey. She said, but I feel like this is what God wants me to give. Amen. Concerning missions. Amen. And so she's giving and I'm giving and my kids are all giving to Faith Promise Missions because I believe that God will give to you to give away what He would never give to you to keep. And that God's spoon, amen, is bigger than our shovel. God loves a funnel and hates a sponge. Amen. And so I'm glad to be involved in missions and being doing a part of what God is involved in and excited, amen, about not only seeing people saved in Bolivia, but people being saved all around the world. Whenever we give to our local church, it loses its identity, and I'm able to receive benefit on souls that are saved in Africa and the Philippines and in everywhere around the world that my church gives here in Western North Carolina. And I say hallelujah to God for that. I've seen God bless, amen, our lives. I've seen Him bless, amen, and give the increase. When I told God, I said, Lord, we're on the field. And I can't work. I can't work a job. I can't go to churches. I can't raise any more support to do this increase. But God said I can. And we've seen God over the years increase our support. Amen. When we were on the field. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And so in Acts chapter number 26, if you look with me in verse number 22, and let me gain my composure to read the text tonight. Amen. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day witnessing both the small and the great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. In verse number 24. And as He thus spake for Himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And here's our text in verse number 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Paul goes on to say that this thing was not done in a corner. When Jesus Christ came to this world to bleed and to die, He did not do it in a corner. But He did it openly before kings and before nobles. He did it openly before all of the modern day church in that day. And He did it openly before the lost. He told John the Baptist. He said, John, He said, you go tell John. He said that the dead, that the lame walk, the blind see. I don't know if He said the dead were raised or not, but He did raise the dead, amen. He said, but the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And I'm glad that the gospel is for rich or for poor. It's for black or for white. It's for any man, anywhere that'll acknowledge that he's a sinner on his way to hell and call on Jesus Christ alone, amen, to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Amen. I'll do like Brother Roy Velez did and run down there and sit down and say, amen, Brother Steve. That's what he did when he came to believe to preach for us. Our people didn't amen him, and he went down there and sat down on a pew and said, amen, Brother Roy. Amen. And so I'm glad Jesus came to die. Amen. And He came to this world to do a work that nobody else could do. Amen. He laid down His life to take it up again. And it was not done in secret. He done it openly. He came, amen, to die for you and I so that we might be saved. But might I say tonight, before I announce the title of the message, that Jesus said, He said, but ye, He's talking to us, amen? He said, should not henceforth live unto yourselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Jesus Christ died for them. Amen. And that's your neighbors. That's your boss man. That's anybody you run into. Amen. That's the people in South America, in Africa, or anywhere in the world. He died for them. My papa, he's told me this since I come back. And when I come back off the mission field, he reminds me this regular. Because he loves them grandbabies. He said, Steve, there's people here dying and going to hell. He said, there's churches here. Couldn't you just go here and preach? Amen. He reminds me that every time I come in. But I have to remind him like I did the first time that it's none of my business. Amen. God called me and God sends me, and my responsibility is to obey and to do what the Master, when the Master calleth. Amen. And when He's done with me, then I might come back here to West North Carolina. I might settle down one day. If they kick me out of Bolivia, amen, I might come back one day. Amen. But I'll probably go back as a tourist. Amen. And I'll say, thank God. Hey, listen, we just come out of Bolivia and we're permanent residents of Bolivia now. And that was just a blessing. It cost us years and thousands of dollars to be able to get permanent residency. But Darlene and Jacob and Brian and Levi, they're all permanent residents of Bolivia. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, does that mean that you're not a United States citizen anymore? And I said, no, we're still citizens here. We're just residents over there temporarily. Because this world's not my home, friend. Amen. I'm not sinking my roots too deep here. Because one day, I mean, I have a responsibility to take care of my family. I have a responsibility to do what I need to do. But I want to say, listen, it's just temporary. Before long, God's coming. And it might not be long. I told my family when we come in and we sit down there, if Jesus come back, I believe all five of us, amen, will be gone. Hallelujah. Because my wife, by her testimony, has been saved by the grace of God. And my son Jacob, been saved by the grace of God. And Brianna, by her testimony. And Levi, by their testimony, blessed me to death when we left Bolivia. We had a Thanksgiving service there at the church because we had our last service in that building. And God had given us another building. Amen. A nice place. Amen. To be a better parking. Amen. Not sitting on the side of the mountain. Amen. And we went in there and we had a Thanksgiving service. And Brianna said, I want to thank God that in this church, church, I got saved by the grace of God. And in this church, God gave me assurance of my salvation. And in this church, I got baptized. And in this church, this year, God's let me be a Sunday school teacher. And in this church, this year, God has allowed me to keep the nursery. Amen! That's good, ain't it? It's good to be saved. This thing's not done in a corner. God raises people up. He changes their life. And He sends them out, amen. Whenever you get up in the morning and you go into this lost world, you're a light among the lost. You're a light among darkness, amen. That's what I want to preach on tonight. We live in a society where it's unpopular to be sober. In our text we read here in verse number 25, it said, "But speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Paul said, "I've not lost my mind. I'm not crazy." He said, "I'm not beside myself." I don't know what that means, beside myself, but maybe he's saying you're having some kind of extraterrestrial experience or something. You done stepped out of your body and you're standing over there beside what we knew Paul used to be, and you're different. You've changed. You're undone. You're confusing. You're unbelievable. And Paul said, Festus, he said, I've not lost my mind. I'm not crazy. He said, I know exactly what I'm saying. He said, and what I say is in truth and in soberness. I want to say that we live in a society here in America where it's very unpopular to be sober. And I'm not just talking about being drunk. I'm talking about being sober-minded. I'm talking about thinking about this thing realistically. I'm talking about looking at it through eyes of reality. I'm telling you, friend, it's real. There's really a God. There's really a devil. Probably there's really angels flying around us tonight here in the church. Really, Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Really, God in His presence is here with us tonight. And really, Jesus Christ is living in our heart and He's present with us right now. Amen. Jesus, are you saved, brother? Jesus is sitting right there. Amen. And I can do that to a whole lot of you tonight. Are you saved? That means Jesus, Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I'm talking about thinking about things soberly. So tonight, I want to take a spiritual sobriety test through the Scriptures. I don't believe there's a better litmus test than this word right here. Amen. I tell them in oblivion, my opinion's not important. But what this word says is of utmost importance. Amen, brother. The old preachers were out. The church I come out of, Old Talksway Baptist Church, this is the way they used to preach it. They said, your opinion ain't worth a whole lot. But they said, this book right here will stand when the world's on fire. Amen! This book will be true, and let every man be a liar, the Bible said. Let God be true and every man a liar. This book will stand when the world's on fire. This is the book that we will be judged by, every single one of us. God is going to pick up a book just like this. You think God would judge you God would judge you by something that you don't have access to? He would not do that. He's a just God. But one day He's going to, and it says, and other books will be open. And I believe that's the Bible. I mean, I may be wrong. You might know more than I do. I may be wrong, but I'm telling you, in heaven, this book's going to be open. And God's going to judge you according to this word. Amen. Yes, He is. Yes. Amen. And so I believe this is probably the best litmus test that we could give ourselves tonight. Now, y'all might go out of here tonight hating my guts. Amen. Y'all might go out of here tonight mad at me. Is that Brother Barry Rackley preached one time? He said, when we get done this revival meeting, he said, we're liable to have guts and gallbladders all over the place. He said, we're going to find out if we got a heart for a revival or not. Amen. And so let's give ourselves a spiritual sobriety test tonight. And I want to say, first of all, amen, we live in a society that is unpopular to be sober. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying that if you live for God in the day and hour that we live in, you look like some strange thing. You look weird to people. People think you've gone off your rocker. But it ain't weird, friend. We're not the ones that's changed. It's the world that's changed. We're just trying to hold a standard, amen. Trying to please God. I did a devotion with my family the other day, and it talks about growing in the grace of God, but it says more and more. Finding out how to please God acceptably, more and more. And that's not the exact words, but that's what it's saying. I believe it might be in the book of Ephesians, but and that's the way we need to do, is please God more and more. And the closer you get to God, the stranger you seem to this world. Yes. He said, we're a peculiar people. We're different. You don't need to be like everybody else. God don't want you to be like everybody else. He wants it when people see you, amen, that they recognize that you got some they don't. And I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that it is joy. I'm honest with you now. I don't know where the devil fights you more in, but he fights me more in the area of joy than any other thing. Because the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you can be happy in the will of God. Amen. But when you're out of the will of God as a Christian, it'll be the most miserable place you've ever been in your life. Amen. And believe you, I ask them, all right, who's mad at me? And raise your hand if you're mad at me. And there'll be some of them raise their hand. They're just honest. They're honest. When we get off the airplane, we're going to step off the airplane. What's the first thing you're going to say, honey? But they're going to say, ooh, ustedes son bien gordos. That means, y'all are so fat. That's what they'll say. I'm honest with you. They're real. They're honest to a hurt, man. They'll get a little baby up in their hand and they'll say, oh, that's the ugliest baby. I'm talking back to their parents, brother. Am I lying, honey? They'll say, that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen. They'll do it. Or they'll say, boy, that baby, look at his nose. Ain't that funny? We're trying to win people to God and lead them to the Lord and get them in the house of God, get them under the preacher. And ladies in there, and she said, you know, those foreigners are strange, man. I mean, how must we seem to them? Foreigners are weird. This lady, there's a little girl in our church and her tooth's grown out real high, you know what I'm saying? Up real high above her gum line up there. And the lady's in there and she said, oh, your tooth, you have a funny tooth. Oh, look at your tooth. Oh, it's so funny. Me and my wife's like, oh my gravy, that girl's never going to come back to the church. Honest to her, amen. Where'd that come from? I don't know. That's free, amen. But I'm talking about being sober. Amen. You can look. We'll read these two texts tonight in 1 Thessalonians. We'll just flip through several scriptures tonight. And I found in Bolivia. Amen. The Bible says preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When I went to Bolivia, I couldn't speak Spanish, brother. And so I had to rely on reading the scriptures. I could read Spanish. And so I would read the scriptures and I felt so discouraged because where I surrendered to preach, brother, if you ain't reared back spitting and climbing in the front pew, you ain't preaching. Amen. And I'm so discouraged. I said, Lord, I can't say anything. All I can do is read these scriptures. And the Holy Ghost of heaven come over me and said, son, ain't that what I told you? Preach the word. Amen. And so I just read them scriptures as hard as I could. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number, this is a litmus test. Amen. A spiritual sobriety test. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 6, the Bible said, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Tonight I was wondering if I was on track and your pastor got up and quoted that verse of scripture and the Holy Ghost said, that's it right there. He's talking about watching. Being sober has got something to do with watching. Amen. Being sober has got something to do with watching and praying. Amen. I want to tell you, any Christian that ever does anything for God, I'll guarantee you they got a prayer life. And anybody that gets out in sin, I'll guarantee you, I put money down on, I ain't a betting man, but I can guarantee you that their prayer life's hurting. It's funny to say that, but it's the truth.
that whenever my prayers and my Bible studying time is a lot, my problems, amen, are small. And whenever I'm reading the Bible very little and praying very little, my problems seem so great. Coming here in the States and getting around y'all and rubbing shoulders with y'all, man, it fires us up, brother. It gets us close. Son, it gets us excited about God. And I'll tell you, I go back fired up, brother, about serving God. That's the truth. There's churches all over the place, Christians everywhere. Down there, there's not. And it's hard a lot of times. You get the Elijah syndrome. And you're fighting the devil, seem like all by yourself a lot of times. I'm glad, friend, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Man, I feel like running or kicking or jumping. Something. A spiritual sobriety test. 5-6 there. He said, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be sober. Let us watch and be sober. Hold your place right there and go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and in verse number 7. The Bible says here, and this we'll read these texts and we'll get in the message. Chapter number 4 and verse number 7. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I'll be honest with you. If He said that then, how much closer are we now? The end of all things is at hand. He said that 2,000 years ago. That means in the economy of mankind, since Adam, we've been in this thing about 6,000 years. Amen. That's right. He was able to say, we're in the end of this thing. We got this dispensation of the Gentiles, then that millennial reign, and she's wrapped up. Amen. Am I preaching the book or am I lying tonight? That's the book. God said He's not going to destroy the world with water again, but in the end He's going to burn her down with fire and make one that don't have hell in the heart of it, amen, and get it done with the devil and sin. The end of all things is at hand. Amen. He said, be sober. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7, He said, be sober and watch unto prayer. And so being sober has got something to do with watching, and it's got something to do with prayer. Amen. Now, let me just go over this just briefly with you to kind of bring you up to speed, bring you where I am. Amen? In the Scriptures, when it talks about being sober, it said that the pastor ought to be sober. In 1 Timothy 3, 2, it said the pastor ought to be sober. In Titus 2, 2, it says that men ought to be sober. In Titus 2, 4, it said that women ought to be sober. Amen? And it goes into detail. It says old men ought to be sober-minded. Amen? It goes into more detail and it said young women and young men ought to be sober-minded. Amen. Amen. Whenever we come in from Bolivia, man, the young people. Whew, man, our young people. The day and hour we live in. Don't have no respect. Don't have no respect. Don't care about nobody else. Don't have no long-term vision. Don't have no goals. They're the most distracted, drunken young children, generation probably that's ever lived. Have more than any other time. I mean, some of you, when you was growing up, you had to split wood and do all kinds of stuff where you could come eat breakfast. And now we got more things, more technology, computers, and more easier water in the house and toilets and everything else. And we're more corrupted and more problematic than any time before. He said we need to be sober. We need to be sober. My pastor said one time, best way to understand what something is to look at what it is not. And that's what the Bible does for us right here. In Titus chapter number 2, if you look with me in Titus, you said, Brother Fannin, I don't like your kind of preaching. Well, I'm sorry, I love you. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter number 2, and in verse number, I don't think nobody's not liking my preaching. I'm just going on. Amen. I get used to saying stuff like that because in Bolivia they look at me. Amen. They do. Ask my wife. They stare. Here in the mountains, we learned you don't stir at people. But you ask my wife, thing drives her crazy is they'll stir, brother. They just... We went down there to Bolivia, and them girls would walk up to Darlene, and they'd say, "Can I touch your hair?" And they'd just hold her hair. Rub her hair. I'm telling you, where was we? Amen. Amen. Titus 2, he said right here in Titus 2, he tells us some things that soberness is not. And I want you to look with me in Titus 2 there. You look where he says that young women should be sober. In verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Well, wouldn't you agree with me if he's telling the young women to be sober and that the older women should teach the young women to be sober? Is that not what it's teaching right here? Then you could look at the way the old women should be, and that will teach you what soberness is, biblical soberness would be. And if you look with me in chapter number 2 and in verse number 3, we'll look at those aged women. And he lays the line down on what sober living is. He says, first of all, "And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." And so soberness has got something to do with holiness. And the Bible said that without holiness, no man shall see God. And some of us as Baptists, we've let the holiness crowd scare us to death out of holy living. And I want to say holy living, amen, ain't got nothing to do with a lot of things, and it's got a whole lot to do with a bunch of things, amen. But I can bring her down real simple for you. If you get in that book and pray, your life will change. The secret to living for God is reading that Bible and praying. When you're in a hard spot, if you'll get in this book and read and pray, I promise you, God promised. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And I promise you'll get some help." But I want to tell you, if we're going to be sober, we're going to have to grow up. Amen. A lot of us, we've never grown into spiritual maturity. Amen. So tonight, this spiritual sobriety test that we're going to take, so to speak, that old police officer, he gets out of the car. Can I tell y'all a joke, or... will that offend y'all tonight? Can you tell jokes in this church? There's a guy, a state trooper pulled over this guy, and he walked up and he said, "Buddy," he said, "I'm in a pretty good mood today." He said, "If you can tell me one I ain't never heard," he said, "I'll let you go." Because I'm sure he hears a lot of it. Lies, I'm talking about. I'm talking about being honest with ourselves is what I'm talking about. Growing up, maturing in the Lord. Amen. Doing something for God. Being real. You know what I'm saying? Amen. It ain't easy to live for God. Brother Poncho, he said, "Serviendo a Cristo es para los valientes." You know what that means? Serving Christ as a Christian is for the strong or for the courageous. Amen. It ain't for weak-kneed, weak-minded. I'm telling you, you won't last long. You will not last long. But I'm talking about that sobriety test. That old cop, he comes up the car. He said, "If you can tell me one that I've never heard, I'll let you go." He said, "I'm going to be honest with you." He said, "My wife left me 2 years ago for a state trooper." And he said, "I thought that was you bringing her back." But that old... whenever they pull somebody over and they've been drinking, they'll take that test and have them blow, or whatever it is, I don't know much about it, but they'll have them blow in that thing, and it tells them just immediately how it really is. And when you come to the house of God, I'll tell you, many times I thought I was doing all right, and I thought everything was okay, until I looked into the mirror of the Word of God. And the Bible said a lot of times we look, and we like beholding our natural face in the glass, and we turn away from it, and we forget what manner of man we were. And if we'll look into that Word, it'll tell us just exactly how our relationship is with Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, one day it's going to count. One day it's going to be real. One day it's going to be it's going to make a difference how we live for God. Amen. A lot of people in the day now we live in live like tomorrow never comes. They live like there's no tomorrow. They live, they say, eat and drink and be merry. Amen. For tomorrow we die. Like one day they're not going to have to give an account for what they've done with their life. They're not going to have to give an account what they did with their money or with their family. Amen. With their children or with their friends. Amen. Or with their lost neighbors. Every time I've ever had to move houses, I've been conscious. Amen. That one day I was going to look my neighbors that I live beside in the eye and see them go to hell if they weren't saved and have them ask me, Stephen, why did you not tell me about Jesus Christ? Christ, if you're saved and you knew God, why did you not tell me about Jesus? A spiritual sobriety test. Y'all may have shouted this week and you may have kicked the walls out. I'm going to tell you, hallelujah for rejoicing and worshiping God. I love it better than anybody. Y'all can tell by the way I preach. I like getting in. I like when it gets on. But I tell you, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. You can hypocrite around for a little while, but it'll catch up with you. You'll reap what you sow. Amen. And you might be upset about some of that crowd that seems like they're getting away with it, but I want to tell you, there ain't nobody getting away with nothing. Amen. What goes around comes around. The wheels of God's judgment may grind slow, but they grind sure. And God will bring every idle word into judgment. Amen. I've preached, so I've got a headache. Amen. Whew. Amen. Three things I just want to preach to y'all, and I'll close tonight. Number one, we must have a sober thinking concerning eternity. In Luke chapter number 16, if you look in verse 19, verse number 31, there's a man went to hell, and he is in hell, and he thought about himself. He said, I wish I had one drop to quench my tongue in this torment. He didn't ask for a cup. He didn't ask for a bucket. He asked for one drop. He was so tormented, he knew the relief that one drop would bring him. But as soon as he realized, Abraham said, I'm sorry. He said, I can't pass from here to there. You can't come here. The decision's been made. It's over with. There's a great gulf fixed between us. And he said, there's nothing I can do for you. And the second thought, I believe that I don't know how long it was, the Bible don't say, but I don't think it was very long at all that rich man was in hell before he changed his mind and stopped thinking about himself and started thinking about his brothers. I want to tell you tonight that man, we're going to have some sober thinking concerning eternity. I preached a funeral. My neighbor's 20 years old. He is 20 years old. He was bopping, listening to his music, driving. He's a redneck to the bone, son. Lives straight across the road from me. Rebel flag, the whole nine yards. Amen. Prescription drugs, the whole nine yards. Amen. Where I'm at tonight? And every time when I come in from Bolivia, I'll always talk to Joey. Always. I'm going to church to pick up my kids, drive out there on the road. Joey's laying on the pavement. His brains busted out. And he died right there, right in front of my eyes. He died. That's the first one come up on the scene. And them other kids that's around him screaming. Somebody get him some help. Somebody do something. Somebody please help. She had blood up to her elbows screaming. He fell out of the back of the truck. Two boys fighting over a girl. Fell out of the back of the truck. Busted his brains out. If he was laying on a hospital table, they couldn't have saved him. Joey went out into eternity. Went out into eternity. Now, I don't know if he's saved or lost. I've witnessed to him. I've talked to him. But I preached his funeral. 200 or 300 young people. And the one thing that I want to get across to them, thank God the Holy Ghost put in my heart, is wake them up about eternity. Let them know that eternity is real. Sometimes as preachers, we get so involved in the motion of things. I'm talking about preachers and preachers' wives, deacons. We've been in this thing for so long, we get callous to the things of God and we lose our sensitivity about souls that are dying and lost without God. That's the truth. Working in Bolivia with those people, they're hard. The word ayamada means a hard, bitter people. Brother, they ain't afraid. They'll tell you they don't like you. They'll tell you. I mean, in meetings and things, I'm telling you, brother, it's hard. hard people to work with. Macedonia and Maranatha Baptist Mission called La Paz, Bolivia, the missionary graveyard. Because missionaries come and they don't stay no time and they leave and go somewhere else. Because it's a hard place to work. And I'm not patting myself on the back tonight. I'm telling you, where you're living ain't easy. I know it. I'm conscious of it. But by the grace of God and by the help of God, if we'll get a burden for souls, amen, if we'll begin to pray and ask God to put somebody on our heart. Brother Whittemore said, you've got to have a burden. He said, I don't know how to get one, but you've got to have one.
Amen.
You've got to have a burden for your family. You've got to have a burden for your children. You've got to have a burden for your neighbors. You have got to have a burden for lost souls. Because it's not about witnessing the people inside the four walls of this church. It's about telling people out there that there's a Savior, amen, that cares. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's what it's about. Whenever those disciples, they come out of talking to Jesus, went into Samaria, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well there. We all know the story. She gets gloriously saved. Them disciples come out of the city, and I don't know if they witnessed anybody in the city or not. I don't know. But when that woman went, she sure did. I've thought about this so many times. I've thought about telling people, can I tell you about a man that told me all things ever I did? Is not this indeed the one? Is he not the Christ? Is he not the Savior? He showed me all about my sin, all about my life. And he wasn't ashamed of me, but he came to where I was. And he knocked on my heart's door. And he told me, Stephen, I don't care what you've done. I said, I don't care where you've been. I love you and I want to save you. And if you'll accept me, if you'll believe I died for you, and that I'm alive and powerful to save, son, I'll save you right now. And I said, Jesus, I believe. And I said, Lord, save me. Son, that night he saved my soul. Amen.
Amen.
And I've got a story to tell. If you're saved here tonight, you've got a story to tell. Eternity is real. Every single individual is going to spend eternity in one place or the other. They're going to spend eternity in heaven, or they're going to spend eternity in hell. That's right. Eternity. I mean, if the front of the church tonight, if it's eternity, our life is like a little bitty speck, amen, right there. That's all it is compared to eternity. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I ain't trying to lock this thing down tonight. I'm trying to tell you, we need to take a spiritual sobriety test. Can I say that this church has? I don't try to boast people, whatever you call it, boost people up, or I try not to do that. I want to encourage people. But man, since I have been back in this economy, when I've been in the churches and I see what they've been doing for missions, I tell them, don't you get discouraged. You have no idea. You can't even begin to conceive or comprehend what God is doing through your church. Out of sight is out of mind, and you don't realize that. I mean, you might have one saved on a Sunday or two saved, but every Sunday where you support missionaries, this church has got its hand in on them souls that got saved. And it ain't going to be like some people think. Can I borrow you just a minute, preacher? Can you stand up here? It ain't going to be like some people think. And, oh, here's the missionary. And Jesus takes the missionary by the hand. And he says, oh, missionary, this is look at all that, what you did. And son, hallelujah for you, son. Amen. That ain't the way it's going to be. The Bible says in the book of John that some sow and some reap that we all may rejoice together. Anybody that has a part in the salvation of a soul, God's going to bring them all together. He's going to bring one over here, and He's going to grab. Lord's going to. I don't know exactly. The book don't say. He's going to grab another, and then, sister, can you help me? Can you come help me? He's going to grab another. Sister, can you help me tonight? Would you mind helping me tonight? He's going to grab another. Amen. And He's going to bring them all up here, and He's going to stand them all up here together. And he said, now, this is all of them. Let me say, yeah. Wait, there's another one. There's one more church that give here. And there's one more person that give. And you go up there and stand beside your grandmother there. Can you come? And as a little one that gave, amen, she didn't have a whole lot, but she gave 10 cents into that mission offering. And He's going to bring them all together. All the churches that supports all the missionaries. He said, now we're all together. He said, now I got a surprise for you. I want to show you. He said, all right, everybody that got saved in Bolivia said, I want you to step forward. And they're going to step forward and all these are going to rejoice together. Amen. And there ain't going to be no big eyes and little U's. It ain't going to be the missionary and that little girl, amen, in the back of the line. God's going to lay them all out together because it don't make a hill of beans to God. What's important to God is that them souls get saved, amen, and that you get blessed so you can lay some crowns down at His feet. Ain't it good? He does the saving. He does the sending. He does it all. But He lets us get in on it, amen. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. And then He's going to holler and He's going to say, all right, I think this is all of them. No, I'm lacking one. Over here's one more. Can you come here with me, brother? There's one more. Now, this one gave. This one gave a little bit. So I want to... Let me grab somebody else. Can you come here just a minute? Let's go right up there and stand. And he said, all right, that's all of them. Yep, that's all of them. Hey, and the Bible said that God is not slack. Amen. Amen. God is not unfaithful to forget your work, your labor of love. Is that the book or is that the book? And He's got them all together. He said, now, I want all them that got saved in Africa, said, I want you to step up here. And all them's going to step up here. They got saved in the ministries that you supported. Amen. And He's going to look and He's going to say, there's your reward. Is that the way you think it's going to be or not? I think that's the way it's going to be. I really think that that's the way God's going to do it. I don't know. The Bible don't say. I'm going to tell you, eternity is real. It's a reality. It is real what we're doing in the church. Man, sometimes, man, we can go to church and then we got home life and church life. And I'll tell you, thank God, amen, when it gets so real that you got church and real and home life and work life, you got it all so mixed up, you can't tell when you're a Christian, when you're working, and you're just glad to be saved and full of God and full of joy. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. That's the way it's going to be. We ought to get sober concerning eternity. We're going to have to get sober concerning our giving. If you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 with me. God put this verse of Scripture on my heart to read to you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now you pray for me that I preach it the right way. We're going to have to be sober concerning our giving. Chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. We're going to read there. And the Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He become poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Now He had everything. And He gave up everything to come to nothing. There wasn't no doctor when He was born. Amen. He wasn't in a hospital. Whenever He was born, He didn't have the luxuries and all the finest things this world had to offer. He left the splendors of glory. Y'all heard it preached many times. He left all that beautifulness in heaven and the adoration of the angels and the cherubims. And He left that and He came down and became a man. He came to nothing. He who was rich became poor. He said, the birds of the air have nests. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nets, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And Jesus left everything and come to nothing. So I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Stay on the trailer or don't fall off. Or you'll miss what I'm saying. He says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. A year before this, they had made a faith promise commitment, amen. And He's encouraging them to go through with it. That's what He's saying here. He said, keep on doing what God put in your heart to do. Because we're going to have to realize, amen, that whenever me and Darlene got involved in missions, amen, that it is far beyond beyond what I'm able to do or what I'm capable of doing. Because the Bible said, if you flip back with me, the Bible said, He said to wit that was that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Amen. I think I skipped too many pages. Hold on. Reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful verse. Amen. We could preach here a while. But He said in verse number 3, sorry about that, I preach out of a Scofield Bible. And I know where what I'm preaching is on the page. So you have to forgive me. I was in another place on a different page in the right place, so amen. If you look for chapter 8 and verse number 2, it says, and how then in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty. This wasn't poverty, it was deep poverty. And if you study that out, deep poverty means that they didn't have enough to eat. Amen. I could park and preach here a while, but I won't for time's sake. Because, I mean, we might have hot dogs out there. Or hamburgers or something. I don't want y'all to get mad at me for preaching long. But when I come to church, I come to church. Amen. I don't come to beat around the bush. And I don't come to make people like me. I try to be nice. But I'm telling you, if you like me or you don't like me, this is the book. Amen. And I could park and preach right there a while. But as you can see, I ain't missed a meal in a while. But then people down there in Bolivia, people in other places, they miss meals. But they're excited about giving. And some of y'all have lost your jobs. Some of y'all have had to dip into what was your savings for the future. Some people get cancer and it wipes out everything that they've got, that they've saved for a lifetime in a week. I'm talking about hurting. And some of you in here tonight, you know what hurting's about. But you give. Anyway. And when my family sits down to eat a meal, we're conscious that it's because people give that we're eating and that we're doing what we're doing. And that it is God that does it. But that He uses people to do it. And He's using these people, the Bible says, for to their power. In verse number 3, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So concerning our giving, God first of all wants us to give ourselves. And say, Lord, here am I. Take an offering plate and jump in it. I've jumped in many an offering plate in the church. One time I was preaching, and it's my church, and it's a plastic offering plate. And I jumped in that thing, brother, and it broke it all to pieces. But I tell you, that's reality. That is what God's saying. Amen. Paul said, they said, Paul, we ain't got nothing to give. But I'll tell you, if there's anything I can do, here I am. And Paul said, in so much, there's many of them, in so much, he said, man, he said, they didn't give like we thought they was going to give. He said, I thought maybe they was going to give us some bread or something to help us along the way, maybe a little money or something to help us on the way. But they didn't give like we thought they was going to give. He said, in so much that we asked for Titus. We said, okay. Y'all can help us. You can be involved in our ministry. Amen. Paul said, amen. And he said, I'll tell you what, Titus has helped us before. So we'll just take Titus in y'all's place. We'll just let Titus represent y'all. And Titus can go, son, glory. And every time Titus brings me a cup of water, you just remember that he's doing it in your place. And every time that Titus gives out a gospel tract, or every time that Titus preaches, he's doing it for you because y'all wanted to do it. You had a desire. You remember when David said, I want to build a house for you, Lord? And the Lord said, no, but I'm going to bless you like you did it because it was in your heart. And a lot of people can't go. Sister, you think you can go to Bolivia? No. No, and she don't want to. That's why she said, and I don't want to. She's like oblivion. She's like mountain person. I'm going to be honest with you. We're people down there and people in the mountains were cut from a similar mold, because people in the mountains anywhere in the world had to learn to be hard if they're going to make it tough. Amen. She said, I don't want to go. But do you want them people down in Bolivia to be saved? Amen. See there? And there's a lot of people that can't go, they cannot go. I'll tell you, the first time I went through Miami Airport, I was so confused. I had more culture shock in the Miami Airport than I did in Bolivia. That's the truth, ain't it, honey? Man, me and Darlene's walking through there, and I had never hardly left these mountains. And we're walking through Miami Airport, and we just left our family and everybody back home, and we're crying for weeks. Amen. Missing family. I thought that's the last time I'd ever see my grandparents. Amen. It's like Brianna was telling me the other day, it's all right if I tell this to Brianna. I asked Brianna, I said, Brianna, what is hard? Because they was asking her in the church questions. And I said, well, what is hard about being a missionary? And she said, well, Daddy, it's hard leaving Nani. She said, because I know when I leave her that I won't get to hug her again for a couple of years. And she said, it's hard knowing that Nani is 70 years old and it might be the last time I ever see her. And I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm telling you, it's a reality that some have to go. Amen. And I'm glad to go, man. If you could see where I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then you would see the miracle that took place when Jesus came in my heart. Amen. You know the rest of the story? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Amen. I was just glad, Brother Tim, seeing you standing up here and them other people I went to high school with and people that I went to college with and things, and to see them serving God, it excites me, brother. I get excited, I think. Glory to God. There's another one, amen, that the devil didn't get. Amen. I get excited. And where God, and I say, Lord, I'm just glad to have something that you want me to do. I'm just glad that you've got something for me. Amen. And in the economy of that, everybody cannot go. But that old church there, they sent old Titus, didn't they? The Bible says, and beyond their power, because they were willing of themselves, they did more than they ever dreamed of doing, if you put it in a nutshell. They did more than they ever dreamed of doing, because do you know what happened, brother? In the Word of God, we find this book called Titus.
That's right.
And old Titus come out of that church. And God thought so much of it, He decided to dedicate a book after what that little church did. Titus impacted not only where he went, but he impacted generations, because the book that Paul wrote to Titus has helped every single preacher.
Amen.
And every single Christian to look at this thing in a sober way, to realize that it is real. And he comes in that place, and this part right here, and you stay with me, and I'm trying to get this read, in chapter number 8. In verse number 9, he says, he's reading that about Jesus, and he said, I give my advice. And he says in verse number 9 right here, he says in verse number 12, let's see. He said, for there be a will in mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And for years I could never understand that. What are you talking about, Lord? It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's just like if one of y'all in here tonight, and you give into missions, and one of you says, Lord, I wish I could give $1 million. Now, I'm going to get real with you. Don't get mad at me. And you said, Lord, if you give me $1 million, I'd give you half of it. But you probably wouldn't. You say, why not? Are you giving half what you got right now? That's what that verse is talking about. There was 10 frogs on a log, and 7 of them said, I'm going to jump in the pond. How many frogs were sitting on the log? 7 of them decided to jump in the pond. How many was left on the log? That's what everybody says, 3. Nope, there's 10 frogs sitting on the log. It's one thing to decide. It's a whole other thing. I said 3, 2. But it's a whole other thing to jump in the pond. And it's one thing to say, I'll give $1 million. But it's accepted according to what you have and not according to what you have not. And it might be your desire to give $1 million. But God's not asking you to give $1 million. He's asking you, amen, what is in your hand? What has He blessed you with right now? Where is your faith lying right now? A sobriety test. We have to be sober concerning our giving. And look with me in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 3. Romans chapter number 12 and in verse number 3. The Bible says in Romans 12 and in verse number 3, the book says right here, and we all quote verse number 1 and 2, and we get excited about it, but you've got to bring it down to reality. You've got to be sober-minded about this thing. I mean, it's one thing to get excited in here, but it's a whole other thing Sunday when you go to sign that card. And I know missionaries ain't supposed to preach messages like this, but it's all right, ain't it? It's the book. Amen? Amen. You know, it's like that one guy said, a Filipino missionary said, blessed is the missionary who preaches short, for he shall receive support. But I'm telling you, I'm being real tonight. We're down where the rubber meets the road. Y'all might not want to eat a hamburger with me in a minute. But I'm going to tell you what the book says, because it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it got real to me. Amen. When we started giving, and we give at first, it kind of hurt, but I couldn't give very much because I didn't have much faith to give. But every year, God started aumentando. That's Spanish. God started adding. He started adding to my faith. And He started building my faith. And that first year, a little child, it might give $1 a week or 10 cents a week. But as he grows and that child begins to see that God will give them that money back if they'll give it to the Lord, and their faith starts growing, and they start saying, whoa, where did that come from? And the Holy Ghost says, well, did I not tell you? Give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over the top, shall the Lord give unto you. Man, Brother Tim, he's talking to me. He said, Brother Steve, he said, I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm just rejoicing, he said, at what the Lord has done concerning missions. Amen. Amen. And you read this, and you look at this, in faith promise, you realize that it's according to what a man hath and not according to what a man hath not. And when you give, if we get real about what we give and we pray and ask God, Lord, you give through me what you would not give to me. And it's a growing process. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 3 says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, look at this, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God is the one that deals out faith. When I first started and I heard, I got a glimpse of what some people was giving, it scared me to death, brother. I said, there ain't no way I can give that. I'll just tell you right now. I sure would love to do that, praise God. We're going to give this right here. But I wasn't giving for people to see. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't giving for people to see me give. And it was scary, wasn't it, honey? And we was trying to pay our bills, being good Christians, amen? Boy, that got us sitting in. Had to, pay them bills. Pay them tithes. We was tithing. My washing machine stopped breaking, tearing up. Amen. My tires, man, they lasted. The tires on my truck in Bolivia lasted almost 8 years, brother. Amen. One day I took them tires off and put new tires on, and the Holy Ghost said, I told Jacob, man, Jacob, do you realize them tires have been on 8 years? And Jacob said, Daddy, God can put shoes on people for 40, can't He? He said, God can do it, can't He? God did that, didn't He, Daddy? And I said, oh, ye of little faith. I said, that's right, son. Son, out of the mouth of babes, there it is. God say, where's your faith? Can I not provide a table in the wilderness? Son, I feel like climbing something. It's according to that a man hath and not what he hath not. God deals out faith, and as He blesses and you trust Him more, He can trust you with more. And as you're faithful with more, He can be more faithful to you. Because God is faithful. He will never let us down. But I'm not talking about salvation here. Man, I'm trying to get over there to end this message on a high note tonight. But God deals out that faith. He says at the end of that, but think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Everybody does not have the capacity to do the same thing. I mean, you look at the man, I think it was Caterpillar Company and these different companies, and a lot of them started out giving small things. And you look, go back and read their testimony, they started giving and giving, and God bless, and it's giving. And that's the way my horseshoeing business was, brother. I was shoeing horses, and we was giving. And I said, Lord, well, praise God, it's come in. And we give a little more in the next year. And I was shoeing horses, and man, my horseshoeing business was getting a little bit better, wasn't it, honey? And amen. And was no, I just wanted to make enough to let my family eat out once a week, pay my bills. Amen. And man, God's blessing, and the Lord increased my faith a little bit, and I just give a little bit more. And son, I'll tell you, I seen God bless. And I'm going to tell you, I'm being honest with you, we've got to be sober about this thing. Yes, yes, we are in a recession. Yes, it's a crisis. But God has not moved. I was preaching the other night, my youngins got tickled, and half the church got tickled. And I was talking about Jesus. And I said, the Bible said they was in that ship in a storm, and Jesus is down there in the ship, and the Bible says He's asleep, and His head's on a pillow. And He's right, I mean, it don't say He had His head laid on a board or a rock. It said He had His head laid on a pillow. He was snoozing. He was calm. And we got the idea that God is up in heaven fretting and sweating and worrying about how He's going to provide for us. Back in that Y2K thing, son, I was scared to death. We'd just give everything away. And then we'd step out. We was down there on the border of Mexico studying Spanish. And I thought to myself one day, the devil jumped up on my shoulder. And he said, you've done give everything away. You ain't got nothing. And you going down, boy. Your family's drowning. You're finished. You ain't never going to eat another meal. At 12 o'clock when this thing turns 2,000, it's all shut down. The banks are shut down. Everything's shut down. You ain't going to get your support. You done quit shoeing horses, and you ain't going to be able to provide for your family. You and me preach about 2 hours. Man, we was in language school, and God opened the door and let me shoe horses to take care of my room and board. I didn't have to pay for that, brother. Amen. I was shoeing horses, this one every once in a while, in a place that had some horses, and they give us room and board, brother. While I was in language school, I didn't know where the money was going to come from for us to study Spanish. And brother, by the time we left, it was there. Amen. I didn't never raise more than $100 in my life. I mean, save it. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we left for Bolivia, God gave us a vehicle. A missionary told us, it's going to cost you about $10,000 to move to Bolivia. I like to have a heart attack. I'm honest with you. I was a block layer. And we just scrubbed to get by. And I said, how in the world are we going to $10,000? Ain't no way it's going to cost no $10,000. I think. When God called me to Bolivia, I thought we was going that next week, brother. I was going to go to Bolivia and lay block and shoe horses. I was ready to go. I went home, I told Darlene, I said, honey, I said, we're going to Bolivia. And she said, what? I said, I believe God's called me to Bolivia as a missionary. And he did call me. She said, where's Bolivia? I said, I don't know. I said, but it's in South America somewhere, I think. And you know what? God was so good, brother. He prepared her heart. He put it in her heart. He put it in my heart. He provided everything. He's done it all.
Amen.
Amen. We got to be sober about this thing. It's real.
Hallelujah.
As God gives us faith. And the last thing tonight, we must be sober concerning our salvation. I don't have time to preach yet. I wish I did. But we must be sober about our salvation.
Amen.
We're really saved.
Amen.
We're really born again. I've really been washed in the blood. I'm really redeemed. It's not going to be long till He comes, and I am really going to drop these clothes and that car and the house, and everything's going to be left behind, and I'm going over there. That's real. I'm really a child of God. I've really been adopted. Amen. I've really been born again. Amen. Have I said I've really been washed in the blood? It's good, ain't it? It's good to be saved. It is so good to be saved. I don't know anything better.
Amen.
When I got saved that night, I thought the whole world would want to get saved. And I started telling people, and they just couldn't understand how good it was inside. Man, I'm telling you, we are really saved. And there's a verse about being saved, about being sober about our salvation. Amen. I can tell you where it is. You can read it at home. But I want to tell you, if God spoke to your heart tonight, this is a spiritual litmus test. And if God spoke to your heart, 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9. Amen. We're really saved. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:13. You can look over too. Paul, every time he talked to him, he let him know, man, you're really saved. This thing's real. Paul said, I was really traveling down the Damascus Road one time. What about you? Are you saved tonight? If you were to die, where are you going to go? If you're not saved, I can tell you that your home will be hell. Those are hard words, but they're true. But if you're saved, your home will be heaven. Now that I got saved, I had a destination change. Amen? And I don't know how it is for you tonight. And I know this has been very sobering. Amen. I hope it has been. But if you need to come to this altar, it's open. And God can help you. He can help you overcome fears. He can do great things. God can do incredible things for you. If He'll be faithful, He'll be faithful to you. This altar's open tonight.